Councilmember Storton?
Here.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Councilmember George is absent tonight. Mayor Pro Tem Paulding?
Here.
And Mayor Ray Ressam?
Here. And Mayor Pro Tem Paulding is going to lead us in the flag salute.
Thank you. If you all could silently join with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Tonight works a little bit differently in terms of public comment because this is a special meeting, so this is the time for members of the public wishing to address the council on any business item described in this notice may do so. So in other words, we don't take public comment tonight on items not on tonight's agenda. So let me check in with AGP and see if we have anyone in the queue who is ready to speak for public comment this evening.
If anyone would like to make a comment tonight, please raise your hand. If you are calling in by phone, please dial star 9. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands. Oh, sorry, there are one here. Ken Dalebout. Ken, go ahead.
Okay. I'm not commented yet on Zoom, so. Mayor, City Council, I'd like to give a brief perspective on COVID-19 and Dignity Health hospitals on the Central Coast. Just as a kind of a lead-in, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic is real. Nationwide, we've had 300,000 deaths. In terms of worldwide cases, 73 million, the United States, 16 million, California, 1.6, and in San Luis Obispo County, just under 80,000. In the county, we've had 52 deaths. Most of those have been with the older population. So of those, 85 plus, 34 have been hospitalized and 30 have passed away. But it is not just a thing for older people of our population. In fact, the steepest increase in cases in the last 14 days has been with between the 18 and 49 age group. To give some other information, the new cases per day per 1,000 for California is 64. In San Luis Obispo, it is 27. Santa Barbara is 24. Kern County is 66. Monterey is 59. Los Angeles is 84. And so we have been very much blessed that we've had a low infection rate. On the basis of, does it bring us an advantage locally to be grouped on a broader area, such as combining with Los Angeles? We see no advantage from Dignity Health of being grouped with the broader region and would support a tri-county approach to assessing and managing our own healthcare needs. From a where is COVID, there is a definite surge in our county. The last 14 days, the average has been 100 cases per day. In July, at the peak of that surge, it was 45. This will continue for some time. And so we continue as a healthcare system to advocate for wearing face coverings when you're with other people, keeping distance of 6 feet between people, washing hands often, avoiding touching your face, nose, and mouth, and staying home if you're sick. Just a brief update also on vaccinations. The hospital is expecting to receive our first doses of vaccinations in the next 7 days, which will go to our healthcare workers. And if the vaccination is accepted publicly, it should have a significant impact in the next 6 to 9 months. stabilize some of the things we do. Thank you for your time, and I just give those thoughts from the hospital.
The next speaker is Janice. Janice, please unmute yourself and make your comments.
Thank you for calling on me, Mayor and Council. I have such mixed feelings about this. The only advantage I see to being connected to LA and that broader area is that if we're closed too, then the people from the Valley and from Los Angeles won't be so incentivized to come here and visit. I'm concerned that if we open up our county and restrict and decrease our restrictions, that we will get many visitors. Now, I understand that this won't happen for at least 3 weeks, so that means we would miss the Christmas season, because I think we're going to get plenty of visitors anyway at the Christmas season. And I hate to generalize, but it seems as though there's at least I have friends that live in Mariposa, actually, which doesn't even have a hospital with an ICU. And they're having to airlift people to Merced, to Fresno, because the people from that part of the world don't believe in wearing masks. And they don't believe in the 6-foot distance. And so my friend does not leave her house, except to walk outside and her own property, because it's just the grocery store is just, there's no mask requirements. And I don't know how common that is throughout Merced and Fresno, but I know in Mariposa, it's very discouraging for her and her family. So I just wouldn't welcome a bunch of visitors that won't follow the rules. And there is no enforcement for not following the rules. And I understand that too. I mean, it's a really difficult question. I don't have an answer, but my personal preference is to, if staying hooked to Los Angeles just gives us protection from getting a ton of visitors because we have the same restrictions, that seems to me to be a positive thing. So I'm not sure what you guys think or you folks think, but it was good to hear the medical person from Dignity talk about that situation. The numbers are really big, and people that have pre-existing conditions are quarantining regardless. But we still have to go to the store occasionally, and we still have to get some exercise outside. Even walking in my neighborhood, I wear a mask. As soon as I don't wear it all the time, but as soon as somebody's coming, I pull my mask up just to protect myself and them. So thank you for letting me share.
Madam Mayor, there are no more raised hands.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, there have been another raised hand. If any other people in the public would like to speak, please raise your hand now. All right, the next speaker is Patsy Sheehan. Patsy, please unmute yourself and make your comment.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm actually Kay Gore. We both self-isolate. Listen, we're in a crisis situation. I don't leave my house. The only reason I'm over here is my friend has the capabilities to hook into this, and she self-isolates. We don't leave the house except to see each other if we need to, because nobody enforces the mask. You know, it's amazing. We have a mask, where we're supposed to, I thought the last time I spoke, it was supposed to be $100, but nobody enforces it. We have police and sheriffs who say they're not going to enforce anything. And so I want us to be connected to the South, because at least, you know, they're filling up really fast, and there are a lot tighter restrictions, and when the hammer comes down, it's going to come down hard, and it needs to come down hard on us, because we don't enforce it here in this county. So anyway, I say let's go ahead and stay with the South, and it's going to creep up anyway. Monterey, I have friends in Monterey, and they're going under, you know, stay at home. So anyway, that's where I stand on it. Since we don't enforce anything, and everybody runs around either with a shield on, which doesn't help, or their mask pulled down under their nose, or no mask at all, or hanging around their neck, and nobody enforces it. So, hey, I say let's stay in the South, and maybe the governor will come, and he'll send in the National Guard, and maybe we'll finally enforce this. Thank you.
Madam Chair, there. The next speaker is Kathleen. Kathleen, please unmute yourself and make your comments.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I've never joined in on a meeting like this. I can't even, that you can't even see the people. But I just wanted to agree with the previous two callers about staying in with the South counties. And it's a personal reason. I shared this with Jimmy Paulding in an email, but until this hits you personally, you can talk about the numbers and you can say how blessed we are that we have a low infection rate, but it doesn't hit home until it hits you personally. And my adult granddaughter is living with her in-laws, and her mother-in-law last week was hospitalized at French with COVID. She's 58 years old, and she's a nurse at a senior care facility here. So, and she had been tested every week, but she tested positive. And then on Saturday, she was put in the ICU, and she's been in the ICU fighting for her life. And it, you know, you hear all of these numbers on TV, but this is real, and it's affecting real people right here. And I'm afraid that people in LA who want to party, San Diego who want to party, will come up to our beautiful beaches and do what they want to do if we're not equally locked down. That's just the nature of people. And it pains me the economic toll that it's taking on our businesses, but I feel that our fight isn't with Governor Newsom and trying to get him to change what he's doing. Our fight should be with the U.S. Senate. They need to pass the economic recovery relief that we also desperately need, and so that we can stay home and get out of this mess. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, there are no more public comments.
Thank you very much. If anyone else chooses to raise their hand, I will go ahead and open public comment. It's a little confusing the way that the agenda is written when we do get to the item. So you can sit tight and we'll move forward, but you'll get another chance in just a few moments. So let's move forward to our business items tonight. So item 5A is our update regarding countywide COVID-19 efforts. I'll turn this over to our city manager, McDonald.
Good evening, everybody. So we are here to have just a brief update on just general COVID issues. I think before I jump into that, I just wanted to mention, in speaking with Councilmember George this evening, she wanted me to let everybody know that she's really sad she can't be here, but it's due to a family emergency. Otherwise, she would certainly be here with us all this evening. So jumping into COVID updates, they're not fun as well. I think everybody's heard as well that the county declared this earlier today that there were 6 additional people who died of COVID, which was the largest number they've reported yet in a single day. A lot of caution coming from our public health director as well about trying to make sure we're all, you know, exercising our personal responsibility to the greatest extent possible to try to help stem this virus. There's some of our metrics. I think we've been pretty focused on our ICU beds because that's the numbers that that's the number that the state has been looking at most acutely right now. But just to give folks an idea of where we're at in terms of cases per 100,000, if we think back to all just a few weeks ago when we're looking at those colored tiers, that's what the state was looking at that point, which, so we are at 27.4 cases per 100,000. That's kind of the raw data. The state then uses an adjustment based on how many tests we're doing, and that drops us down to an adjusted number of 20.4 cases per 100,000. When we were looking at the tiers, to be in purple tier, that was 7 cases. So it just gives you an idea of sort of where we've come over the last month or so since we went from red to purple, and now we're in this whole new category. In addition, I don't know if I should go much into sort of where we're at in terms of ICU capacity under this item, because it kind of blends a little bit into our next item regarding the letter that we're considering, the council's considering joining on behalf of all the cities. But I will say that I've tried very hard to get an accurate update to the ICU percentages in our county as well as the 3 counties. It's pretty difficult. That data is not readily available, I must say. The county was not able to give me much of anything, and me scrounging around on the internet came up with an estimate, but it's really just an estimate based on the state's information and kind of a general idea of the number that I've seen posted in terms of Ventura's numbers. I think everybody probably saw news coming out of Ventura County that they are down below 2% of their ICU capacity. It's pretty confusing because the state is reporting that they still have about 32 beds available. From what I think is out there, it looks like Ventura County may have a total of 163 beds, ICU beds. So 32 gets them, you know, that's quite a bit more than less than 2%. Meanwhile, Ventura County's website is reporting a 5% ICU capacity at this point. So it's kind of like I don't have a lot of good information for everybody, which is probably leading to even more frustration. I do know as well that just trying to open this up for a conversation, if folks have questions, we'll see what I can answer. But again, I'm not totally sure. We did get additional confirmation from the county. People probably saw that reported in the news about outdoor use of outdoor tables. So this is really just to help confirm the approach that most of the cities in our county have been taking to date as well. And we would be looking to do the same thing, which is that essentially people can sit down at tables that are available outside and eat their takeout and then move along. But any kind of table service is not permitted. And, you know, we still have to make sure everybody's keeping their distance from each other and cleaning protocols are being put in place. So that's kind of a general guidance that's coming out of the county and something we'd be looking at doing as well. So I think that's it for me under this item. Unless you want me to detail the unsatisfying information I've been able to find on the ICU numbers, I can let you know what I found, but we can maybe talk about that here or save that for later, whatever would be most beneficial.
Let's see what the council would like to do. So let me check in and see if anyone has questions about item 5A. So Councilmember Barnidge, any questions?
I just have one question that can go here or can go to the next item. Out of the, let's just talk about San Luis Obispo County. Maybe we have a better number there. Out of the 53 ICU beds in San Luis Obispo County, not considering, just considering COVID, anything, how many are left out of those 53? Do you know that, Whitney?
So the state is reporting that we have 20 beds available.
Okay. All right. Well, that's at least something. I mean, some number. So, and you said as far as the 3 counties combined, you don't necessarily have a percentage of those 3 because that's a little bit harder to come by, especially when you have different numbers being reported on different sites.
Yes. And so the best I could do, and this is just coming out of my noggin, and so that's dangerous. Probably it is dangerous, but what I was able to find is I believe we know that our county has 53 total ICU beds. Santa Barbara has 91. I'm a little unsure. This is a total, not available, but just total. I think Ventura may have 163, but I didn't find that on their county's website, so I'm not certain of that number. Then, based on information coming from the state, it looked to me that as of what they were reporting yesterday, so this is part of what makes it unsatisfying as well, that there were 98 beds available as reported yesterday. So when I put all that together, I came up with a 17.46% roughly ICU capacity for the three counties. But I do believe that that number is a day old at least, and I'm not certain about the accuracy of really any of it. I mean, other than, you know, the 53 beds total in our county, it looks like 91 from Santa Barbara County total is accurate as well, but kind of all the rest is pretty in the air. And I did reach out to the county to try to get that number because I knew it was going to be important for this discussion, and I know that others are asking them as well. So I believe they are putting an effort into trying to figure that out. The state, for a while, was reporting each county's ICU capacity each day when they pushed out data. They're not doing that any longer. And so when you go to the state's website, you can get the region's ICU capacity. So our current region's ICU capacity is 1.7% total, and that's for the whole of Southern California. So they'll give you the data that they want you to get, and then I've kind of tried to piece together the rest.
Okay, so we don't know, but we could even be under the three counties that we're looking to possibly have our own region. We could possibly be under 15% now, anyways. Is that? I mean, you said 17, although that's not confirmed. But I hope that we can get that information from the county maybe tomorrow. I know I had an email into the EOC, and they were kind of grappling with all these different statistics and data. So. Okay, well, thank you for all that and all that number crunching that you did do, Whitney. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Councilmember Storton, any questions of staff?
I'll wait until we start our next item, but just to throw it out there to help a little bit, Whitney, for your own math skills, I did my own research and tried to assess some of the data, and I came up with about a 24% for the three counties, but it just kind of depends where you grab your data from. So it's a little closer to your number. A little bit, so I don't know if that's helpful or not. But thank you. I'll wait for the next item.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Paulding, any questions of staff?
No questions. All my questions were answered. Councilmember Barnage asked all of them. Thank you.
Thank you, and I have a question, but I too will hold it for the next item. So let's go ahead and open up public comment and see if there is anyone who would like to speak. Now, remember, you're speaking on just the general COVID update. The next item is the potential action to sign the letter to the governor. So if you have comments directly for that, let's wait until item 5B. But if you have questions or comments about item 5A, now is the time. So I will turn it over to AGP to handle the public.
Yes, we have one member of the public. Your name is a string of numbers, 8912920. I think you know who you are. Please unmute yourself and make your comments. I see that you are unmuted, but we can't hear you. Speaker, we still cannot hear you.
How about we do this? How about we allow the speaker some time to figure out the technical difficulties? So I will leave public comment open for item 5A so that if we move forward without that solution and that person figures out the audio issues, we can certainly continue that public comment so that they can be heard. So for now, let's see if there's anyone else. And again, if that caller can figure out the tech issues, we'll hear from them in item 5B.
Mayor Ray Russell, I think that Travis, if you could provide the instructions on how to unmute. I think he's unmuted.
Right. Yes, the speaker is unmuted.
He needs to hit a star 6 on a telephone.
No, the speaker is already unmuted.
Okay.
That seems to be possibly an audio configuration issue on their end.
Okay.
Additionally, let me talk directly to that speaker. If you are unable to figure out the tech issues, my suggestion right now is that as we move forward with the items, you could put your comments real quickly into an email addressed to publiccomment@arroyogrande.org, and that will go straight through to the city clerk, and she'll be able to read your comment. So if you would like to do that in the interim, I will leave public comment open for item 5A until we get to the end of item 5B, so that you can have a chance to maybe put those thoughts down in that email. Again, the email address is publiccomment@arroyogrande.org.
Madam Mayor, if I might suggest also an option is to call in by phone. The phone number is listed on the agenda. And there are no other raised hands.
All right, so then let's... For item 5A, this one is a receive and file. So we will consider that received and filed. And let's move on to item 5B. Item 5B is consideration of a letter to the governor supporting the request of the counties of San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura for recognition of the Central Coast region under the regional stay-at-home order. Again, I will hand it back to City Manager McDonald.
Thank you. So just a real brief kind of introduction for this item. We spoke about it briefly at our last meeting last week. Generally, the concept was if there was an effort underway to join in that request that the counties of Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, and Ventura had submitted to the governor to have our Central Coast region recognized under the current regional stay-at-home order, that we would like to join in that effort. The request that was submitted by those three counties, which we'll call the Central Coast Coalition, that's sort of how they've styled themselves or styled us, is requesting that the governor acknowledge this region at the end of 3 weeks from the date that the regional stay-at-home order went into effect and allow us to kind of exit our way out of the existing order if our numbers support it at that point. And so the numbers they're looking at, again, are making sure that together our three counties' ICU capacity remains at 15% or above. And so that's the request that the three health officers from those three counties submitted on December 7th by way of a letter to the state public health officer, and that was forwarded as well to the governor. The County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors sent its own letter, and following that, the city managers for all of the cities within our county got together and prepared a draft letter that each council, the city council within our county, are considering joining into. And so far, I've heard very positive support and remarks from the city councils and mayors from all of the cities that have considered it. Each jurisdiction has a different kind of mechanism they use to approve a letter like this. So some of them approve the letter at a city council member, at a city council meeting. Some of them already had the ability vested in their mayor to sign a letter like this. Maybe they delegated authority for letters specific to this issue. And so it just kind of depended on the jurisdiction. But so far, we've gotten support kind of around the whole county for this letter, and so it's presented to you all for discussion and consideration this evening. So if you have any other questions, I'm here to answer them.
Thank you. I'll start with the two of us who held our questions from the last one. So, Councilmember Storton, would you like to go first?
Great. Thank you very much, Mayor. Whitney, I know you've mentioned this, and it's in the staff report, but just to clarify, the letter that was written by the three counties have been sponsored by the public health directors in each of these counties.
That's correct.
Okay. And then the letter that we're looking at sending, by no intent or means, is a desire to go against any of the existing rules that are in place. We're not looking to defy any orders from the governor or anything like that. This is just to change us to a different status with the hopes that we can operate more into the purple tier, which we were just came out of and went into this kind of new phase. But it really is to get us back to that purple tier phase, unless we were to reach those lower numbers that would cause us to end up where we are right now.
That's correct. That's the intent, yes.
Okay. That's all I had for questions right now. Thank you.
Thank you. And City Manager McDonald, my question is, I think all of us probably played with numbers, and I've been watching the EOC situation report pretty carefully, and that one seems to outline how many beds there are, how many are available on a day-to-day basis, and the plus or minus of what has changed. Did you use those in trying to figure how many of the 53 were available in San Luis County?
I had not. No, I was looking at really just what was available through the state website, which is, you're right, it is a little different. And so the confusion factor just kind of started going exponentially at that point when I was trying to figure out which data set do we even use here. And yeah, so I was not using that set of information.
And who knows, right, which one's more accurate? My guess would be the county's EOC report, because the state's is probably delayed. But that's just logic, and we have all learned that logic does not necessarily prevail through all of this, which is why we're sitting here at this special meeting this evening. So let's see if any of the other council members had questions that came up in between then and now. So Councilmember Barnage, any further questions?
Well, so you just indicated, and I have looked on that county website every day. I just didn't look today because I had talked to Ms. McDonald earlier about the ICU numbers. So what does the county state as far as the beds that we have left that you saw, Mayor?
They have been showing ICU availability numbers by site, and that we have four hospitals in San Luis County. We have Twin Cities in the north, and then Sierra Vista and French in San Luis, and we have AG. I'm going off memory right now. I do not have this written down, but French is tapped out. They're at zero. And between the other three, I think as of yesterday, it showed roughly 31 beds available, if I have that right, based on reading that chart. So that is not supposed to be publicly available information, but I'm unclear as to why it's not. So I don't know if it's trailing the state data or ahead of the state data. It's kind of hard to know because none of it is really, I don't know how often that's updated as well. Although if you look at those numbers again, when it says available beds, it will bracket right next to the number for each hospital, whether it's gone up or down or stayed the same since the day before. So, again, that puts the number well over 50%, and I'm pretty sure that's not the correct number, because even the county on the mayor's call was quoting us at 40-something last week. So, I don't think there's any perfect way to get this data, and I absolutely believe in City Manager McDonald's ability to scour and do the research, and if she couldn't find it, we're not going to.
Okay. Thank you for that, Mayor. That's all. That's my only question.
And Mayor Pro Tem Paulding, any further questions?
Yes, Mayor, just a couple. The first relates to what you were saying earlier, Whitney, about the number of local jurisdictions that have indicated general support for signing on to this letter. Do we actually have an idea as to how many of those jurisdictions have effectively signed on?
As of now, I believe I don't have I don't have a extra confirmation, but I believe that I think we may only be waiting for us and Morro Bay. We're going to be taking action. I believe they were looking at doing that tonight, as well as Atascadero, but I think Atascadero indicated that they probably had the support already. So I don't believe this is actually on their agenda.
Okay, thank you. My second question relates to ICU capacity, specifically with regard to patients that are sent to Marion in Santa Maria. It's my understanding that if it's somebody that contracts COVID here in, say, Arroyo Grande, for example, they need an ICU bed, they're shipped because of AG hospital policy to Marion at this point in time, or the overall Dignity Health policy to manage patients across the board. My question then is, if Marion is in the county of Santa Barbara, is it the case then that the ICU or the patients that end up in the ICU at Marion are reflected in Santa Barbara County's numbers and not ours?
So I want to remind everybody that we also have Ken Dalebout still on the line. He's still there. So if we want to use him as a resource, we can do that too. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Whitney. Go ahead.
It's okay. So I believe what I've heard from the county and gotten confirmation from them on is that the positivity number, so if it's a resident of Arroyo Grande or anywhere in our county, the fact that they contracted COVID would show up in our case numbers. But if they're in a bed in another county, then they count against that county's beds. So if we're looking at county ICU beds, then Santa Barbara County's ICU beds would go down with patients that are from our county. So it's kind of a blend of both. And I guess it does give you a more accurate number, or the accuracy is questionable, I suppose, just as we're talking about data not being known at this point. But it does give you a sense of they're looking at the actual beds in each county, trying to figure out how many are just available for people who would need them. For, again, I guess it's good to remember, when they're looking at ICU capacity, they're trying to keep in mind the fact that people need ICU beds for reasons that have nothing to do with COVID. And so it's really important that we have them available for everybody who might need them. Because otherwise, nobody can get hurt or sick in any way, then we really all need to be in bubbles, because there wouldn't be the space for treatment of other kinds of illnesses as well.
Okay, I appreciate that response. And perhaps Ken Dalebout would want to elaborate on your response to my second question. But I'll ask you first, and that just is, if that's the case, that our numbers are not necessarily right now reflective of the actual folks in our region that are needing an ICU for that reason alone, if we're lumped with the county of Santa Barbara and Ventura, then we would be looking at an average ICU rate from the three, which would actually correct that slight artificial capacity issue. Is that correct?
I think that's correct. Okay. The one kind of point in there that we also don't know about is we don't know if our patients go to other counties that aren't Santa Barbara Ventura. They may need to go up north to Stanford, or farther south to UCLA or USC, or into the valley. For instance, we don't have a children's hospital here in our county, they may go to Valley Children's Hospital, or so it's just hard to tell. And I did try to see if the county happened to have data on where our patients were going, meaning which counties were they sent to, and they weren't able to give that to us. I'm not, they probably just don't have that at their fingertips.
Okay. And then I just wanted to give Ken an opportunity, if he is still available, to speak on that subject. he's got something to say. Thank you.
I'll go first at public comment.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Those are all my questions.
All right, thank you. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to AGP and see if anyone would like to speak. And, of course, if Ken is wanting to go ahead and contribute more, if he's got more to say, he can raise his hand. But otherwise, if we've hit it, we're good to go. So I'll turn it over to AGP at this time.
If anyone would like to make a comment, please raise your hand now. If you're calling in by phone, please dial star 9. Madam Mayor, there are no raised hands. Ken, you have already been allowed to speak. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Ken Dale, about Administrator Rogue and Union Hospital. I just wanted to confirm some of the things that said currently by design, Aurora Grande and Marion Regional work together for COVID patients. And we do that for the concentration of specialty care for COVID that we can provide at the Marion campus. And by design, until it's needed, the Aurora Grande campus has been designated as a clean campus, meaning we try not to keep any COVID patients there, and so that it can be used for non-COVID overflow. So the advantage of Dignity Health and also the counties working together is that we can coordinate that kind of work and not just look at it city by city or hospital on its own, that we can use the entire system to the advantage of giving the best care at the best location. I wanted to reiterate, as a Dignity Health system, we don't see it as any advantage from being able to deliver care to the residents of our communities being lumped with the greater region. The Tri-County region has the facilities and has the resources needed to take care of our population, and it makes more sense to focus on that local area than a broader area that would include San Diego, Orange County, and LA. So thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Madam Mayor, there are no more speakers.
Thank you so much. So let's bring this back around to the council for comment and possible action. So I will start with Council Member Storton.
Thank you, Mayor. First of all, I want to thank the callers that did call and certainly some of the emails that were sent in. This is a very emotional topic, regardless of one's position. There's a lot of different motives and reasons why people feel the way they do. The death part is certainly a scary part, and I know when my mother passed away in March, late March, this was early in COVID, and she passed away from a respiratory issue, but it wasn't COVID-related, and I really didn't discover until I was able to go through her things and go through her laptop, where she searched incessantly about what COVID would mean to her, and I discovered this after the fact because she really didn't mention it to me prior, and there are seriously a lot of people out there that are in conditions that are living in fear of this disease, and rightfully so. But we're also dealing with the issue of economic issues and people's sustainability and just their everyday life. And so this is not a discussion of really a win-win situation. It's really a matter of trying to find balance and reason within a very difficult situation. I'm very appreciative of the counties that have gotten together and have written this letter. I am a person that really depends upon people that are the professionals in this area. I appreciate Ken calling in, providing some direction, but I really do appreciate the three county medical officers that wrote this letter, and I have to trust their knowledge, their experience, their judgment, and feeling that we can negotiate some of this through, trying to find some balance with the issue. So I'm very supportive of the letter that's been written by the county.
Is this me or is this Councilmember Storton who's frozen up?
I think it's his system frozen
up. Okay.
So let's just go back to Councilmember Storton. If it looks like he's going to be pretty locked up, so we'll move on to Councilmember Barnidge, and then we'll go back to Councilmember Storton when he's back.
Okay, thank you for that, Mayor. I just want to thank the callers for calling in. It's nice for people to actually take the time, especially the one speaker that said that she had never called in before, or at least not called in during the pandemic when we're on the Zoom. So I very much appreciate that. I also appreciate the three county health officers have gotten together and are comfortable with this. I would like Councilmember Storton, I tend to rely on very heavily on the experts. And I'm not an expert in epidemiology, and so I very much appreciate that they are feeling comfortable that we can do this as a tri-county region. And that's one of the reasons that I'm actually actually in favor of signing on to the letter, is because of their support. We aren't below the available 15% capacity in the ICU, which is good, although we might be close, we don't know. But I tend to be a little more cautious due to our numbers being so high this last week. So I am in support of signing the letter, but I would just caution people that we aren't so far away from these other counties that are locked down. And learning today that Ventura County, who we're asking to be partnered with, was, I think I checked last week, and it seemed to be they were 50% ICU capacity, or maybe 30%, and now all of a sudden they're at 1.4%. So it shows you how quickly things can change. And so I also want to emphasize, since we were having this agenda item, that when we talk about how well off we are in Slo County, we maybe have 20 to 30 ICU beds left at most. And everyone keeps remarking how we shouldn't be lumped into Southern California, which I totally understand. But I also don't want people to have a false sense of security, because 20 beds can fill up in a matter of days. As you've probably seen in the news, we're having outbreaks all over the county. We had over 1,000 cases in the county last week, which is tremendously frightening, in my opinion. If we do get to open back up again and the governor allows us to go it alone with the other two counties, I hope that people will still take the precautions that the health department is recommending. And just because we might be allowed to reopen due to our ICU capacity, I would hope people realize that we don't have hard borders or walls surrounding our area, and areas adjacent to us have almost no beds left. And as has been mentioned earlier in this meeting, we do send patients all the time outside of San Luis Obispo County to other ICUs. As I think City Manager McDonald mentioned, ICUs are for all kinds of issues that are not COVID-related, and we send people outside of Slo County all the time. Those ICUs are filling up, so that worries me for people that maybe have issues, trauma, or burn patients, or children that we can't necessarily treat here if those ICUs are filled up. So we're kind of all in this together, and I hope that these numbers will give everyone pause and continue to take this seriously, but I am in support of signing on to the letter due to the county health officers being in support of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Storton, you're back. Would you like to finish your thoughts?
Thank you. I apologize. You can tell that sometimes we have no control over certain things. Thanks for your patience. Just real quick, I am in support of the letter with the seven cities going in together on a letter. I just think we all have some homework to do at this point. I think we need to diligently try to serve our local businesses within the capacity that is within the confines of the rules that are in place right now. And I just think that we need to wear our masks when appropriate. We need to wash, we need to keep our distance, and we really need to act as independent people making right choices, so independently together we can make some overall good choices and hopefully drive our numbers down and keep us going. Thank you. I apologize about the delay, and that's all I have.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Paulding.
Thank you, Mayor. And I would echo comments made by both Councilmember Barnidge and Storton, especially with regard to when we look at this letter, the fact that the county public health officers, you know, are all in support is certainly important, and I would always defer to the experts. Recently, Dr. Penny Gorenstein, our health officer, indicated that this virus is 10 to 15 times more lethal than the average flu. We've seen 300,000 deaths worldwide. Today, we had a press release by the county reporting that, as mentioned earlier tonight, we've seen the most COVID deaths in a single day today, bringing the number total, or the total number here in Slope County to 52. The fact is that loved ones in our community are dying, and we're all starting to actually know people that's you know, impacting. The surge in cases comes from more than 2 weeks after Thanksgiving holidays, the Thanksgiving holidays. Many cases continue to be traced to gatherings of friends and families. The fact is, with Christmas and New Year's coming up, we've got to take care and follow the guidance, or we could see another huge surge in deaths. I understand that our local businesses are suffering. I understand that many people have been laid off and are struggling to get by, but we must continue to take this virus seriously and adhere to health guidelines. Having said that, I am supportive of signing on to the letter to the governor with our neighboring cities. Inconsistency creates distrust, and unfortunately getting lumped in with the Southern California region, although based on mutual aid concerns among the hospitals, eroded some of our public's trust in terms of expectations. We want to know that if we are following the rules, we will save lives and protect our livelihoods, because the rules are meant to strike that balance based on facts and science. When the rules change arbitrarily, it makes people not want to follow them, and I think that we're seeing that in our community to a big extent. In this case, we should be tied to our own ICU rates for consistency's sake alone, because that has been the process to date. And folks understand that if our capacity drops below 15%, then we have to get more serious, even more serious, about restricting activity. And they will be more willing to come along, to go along with it. So for this reason, I support staff's recommendation to sign on to the letter, but I would just ask everyone that's watching this, please continue to take this virus seriously. We're in the worst part of it. We can get through this together, but it is going to take more than blowing it off. It's going to take some serious determination. Let's all commit to trying a little harder. The truth is, it is better for everyone, and we are safer as a whole if we all try harder. Thank you. Those are my comments, Mayor.
Thank you. I am in concurrence with the rest of the council, and I hope that the people listening will heed the warnings and the pleas of the rest of the council. I do have a few comments to add, though. I want to be clear, just today, the CDC is warning that there will be 60,000 more deaths in the next 2 weeks, so by New Year's Day. And I want to be sure that people understand, we've been conditioned to think that there's this 14-day window. And so if we make it past today, or we make it past in the next couple days, we're now outside that 14-day window, and we have withstood the surge. And that is not what the 14 days means. The 14 days is for the onset of symptoms, and it often takes a week or more for those symptoms to worsen enough to get someone hospitalized. So I want to be really clear that I have grave concern about this for San Luis Obispo County. I think, you know, we have been fairly insulated, but with our numbers doing what they're doing right now, and given the fact, let's do a little math, since we were doing it a little earlier. If we have 53 beds in the county, let's round down to 50. That means that each bed is roughly 2% of our total. So that means if just one bed is occupied, our number changes by 2%. So the possibility of that number changing significantly in San Luis County is very real. And that's something I'm very concerned about. But I also support this this move right now for a couple of reasons. And the first one is we have often heard people talk about the issue of public health being juxtaposed by the issue of economic health. And I want to remind people that when people get fired from their jobs, then we have hunger and we have public health issues. So those things are really a little bit more blended than we often are led to believe by watching the media. I, too, am going to rely on our public health officials, and I so appreciate I emailed Ken Dale about a couple of days ago and asked him to attend this meeting so that we could have his expertise here. And I trust AG Community Hospital, and I trust Ken to tell us what the reality is on the ground. And when he tells us there is no advantage, then that allows me to consider the other part, no advantage to being bundled with Southern California. That allows me to now defer to the other part, which I think Mayor Pro Tem nailed, which is we have a public trust issue. And the governor clearly has not given us good enough reasoning. And without that public trust, people will not follow the orders and the parts of the order that do make sense. And so our plea to you is that don't throw the baby out with the bath order. We have We have an order that does make sense. We need to wear our masks when we're out and about. We need to do what's reasonable. But at the same time, when we've got this piece of the order that just doesn't make sense and that is not supported by our local public health officials, then I can stand behind it. And I will be honest with you, I think this is going to be moot. I fear that we're going to sign this letter, and 2 weeks from now, we're going to be under the 15% here anyway. And my very real concern are the things that really do happen, and they happen in big numbers at the holidays. We have heart attacks. We have car accidents. We have things that are curable if we can get people the proper care in ICU. And if those beds are taken up by COVID patients, then that we can't do what we normally do to take care of our people. And so I really just want people to put all those things together when they're making decisions to maybe push the rules at Christmas time. So with that, I'm ready to move forward, and I'll ask the council if there's someone who would like to hazard a motion.
This council member Stewart and I will move that we accept the letter as presented by staff for signage and forwarding to the governor.
Mayor Pro Tem, I will second.
Any discussion? City Clerk Wetmore, for the final time, I'm going to go to you and ask for a roll call, please.
Council member Stewart?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Paulding?
Yes.
Councilmember Barnage?
Yes.
And Mayor Ray Russo?
Yes. So this does take us to item 6, which is adjournment, and I would like to adjourn this in the honor of a couple of people. First, I want to adjourn this in honor of the public who's doing its best to make it through. We stand with you. We're doing our best to represent everyone, and we want to wish you the best for the holidays. And finally, in honor of Kelly Wetmore, where this is for real, her last public meeting. We're not going to spring another emergency one on you, knock on wood, knock on the screen, before you're done. So we wish you all the best, Kelly.
Thank you.
So with that, we will take everyone to adjournment. Be safe, everyone. Happy holidays.